Now, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dearly beloved brothers and sisters, Romans 12 talks about this true spiritual worship. And no, it is not about liturgical forms. It's not about what kind of music you use or what architecture would be best suited and other such things. Rather, it is about presenting one's body to God as a living sacrifice, a life that is not being conformed to this world. Non-conformity to the world. What does that look like? Many answers have been given in Christian history, and some are again revolved around, well, the way you dress, for example, or that you don't do certain entertainments the world relishes. But Paul is talking here in a different way. First, Christians do not conform to the world in the way how they deal with their enemies. The world's attitude, how you deal with enemies, has been summarized by Aristotle in his discussion on justice in the Nicomachean Ethics. Men regard it as their right to return evil for evil. And if they cannot, then they think they have lost their liberty. Or as the saying goes, don't get mad, get even. To settle scores, to restore the equilibrium of justice in the world means to do to the other what he or she has done to you. That is the way how cosmic harmony is restored. You punched me, I'm going to punch you. It makes perfect sense to natural man. And if you don't take revenge, that's probably a sign of your weakness, either of your position or your person or both. The strong will not be wronged without consequence. Don't touch me. It's a world that says it's tit for tat. But not so for Christians. Again, what is the natural reaction when you are persecuted, when you are wronged? Smash them. And if you cannot do that, in your impotence, curse them in words or at least in your heart. But this is not the teaching of Jesus. Rather, he said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. It is evidence that you are a child of God, that you do not fall into the pattern of retaliation, that you do not react to enmity with enmity, to hostility with hostility, to abuse with abuse. It's a sign of Jesus that you do not conform to this pattern of this world. As the Apostle Peter writes, "For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." Now we all know that Christ's suffering is for us. That is, that Christ suffered on our behalf for our salvation. But Christ's suffering is also an example for those who have been redeemed. Yes, the cross that forms our life is first that we receive the benefits of the cross. But it is second also the pattern of the Christian life. A life of self-giving love to others, and a life that bears persecution and suffering like Jesus did. The cross-shaped life of the Christian is that when he is persecuted, does not curse, but blesses. Cursing means not using four-letter words. It means to pray down the punishment of God. As just as this seems to be, Paul tells us differently, and Jesus and Peter. the Lord and his apostles. We are to bless them, that is, to call on them who have wronged us, persecuted us, the grace of God. And we are to bless them, for we are to love them. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. The circle of answering evil with evil, as it is most obvious in an institution we probably all think is barbaric and uncivilized, namely the blood feud, is broken. And even though, of course, we don't have blood feuds among us, we have other kinds of feuds, much more civilized, but just as vengeful. It stops where you are. It stops where you are a child of the Heavenly Father, a person who bears the name of Christ, a person who is redeemed by his cross and shaped by his cross. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Peace is a relation between two or more people, and the opposite of peace, of course, is war. So Christians are not to seek war with people. That does not mean that they cannot speak the truth in love, that they had to accede to everything anybody demands of them. But so often, war is not between people because somebody said the truth, but for many petty reasons. Real or perceived slights or insults lead to a state of war. Even if these are real grievances, do not seek to get even, but bless. Don't curse, don't wage war, but rather seek peace. For you are a person of peace and forgiveness. You have received the peace of God and are receiving God's forgiveness daily and richly. If your neighbor does not cease to wage war against you, then you cannot have a relationship of peace with him, true. But you can refuse to respond with war. Instead of seeking to avenge yourself, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. If God gives grace, your enemy will be shamed by your good deeds and see his error. But even if he does not, it is not your job to be the avenging angel of divine justice. Your job is to love this enemy of yours, for God is the one who is to judge, and to him we leave it. His wrath, that is, his judgment, will come upon those in time and eternity who defy him. Your vocation as a Christian is not to embody and execute God's wrath, but to embody and execute God's love. This love of God through you shows itself also in empathy with others. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Love is not indifferent to the people around us, for to love somebody means to take part in their lives, to open oneself to their lives, and thus be affected by their life in joy and in sorrow. That is not easy, and the temptation is big to shut oneself off. For who really wants to weep with the weeping? And so, in an extreme case, you might take Simon and Garfunkel's "I am a rock" as the motto of your life. But maybe that's just adolescent angst posing there. It's much easier to be happy and rejoice with the rejoicing, but when they start weeping, we'll seek our distance. We leave you to work it out on your own. For after all, again, we have enough problems of our own. Thus speaks self-preservation. But offering one's life as a living sacrifice to God is the very opposite of self-preservation. It is spending oneself in the service to the neighbor. There is another point here, said especially concerning the life of Christians with each other. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Not only the life of the Christian in the world, might not be easy with the enmity of the world, but Christians in their relations to other Christians have their challenges too. Frictions because of different viewpoints and temperaments lead to disharmony. What our text as "live in harmony" translates, the Authorized Version gives as "be of the same mind one toward another." With all legitimate differences among Christians, this does not have to end in strife if all have the same mind toward another, namely the mind of Christ. And ambition has a place in the life of the Christian, but not the ambition that thinks we have to make it up the greasy pole. For then, when we are on top, we can look down on those who are not quite as smart, ambitious, talented as we are. Arrogance has no place in the Christian church, and also not that feeling that one belongs to an elite, that one is better than those hoi polloi. Our section is a long list of do's and don'ts. Listening to the admonitions of Paul, we realize how little our lives show that we are children of the Heavenly Father, how little our behavior is shaped by Christ's way to the cross. So repent of your vengefulness, your impulse to retaliate. Repent that curses are often closer to your tongue when you are wronged than blessings. Repent of your arrogance, your sneering at those whom you think below you. The true fight of the Christian is not to wage war against his enemies. It is the war against the old Adam in himself. In this constant, lifelong fight, we pray to our Heavenly Father to give us his Spirit so that we live as his dear children, that we walk by the Spirit, and so that we do not gratify the desires of the flesh. We call upon Christ, who has given us a new heart and clothed us in his righteousness, that he gives us the strength to fight the sin in us. We daily examine our life and thus live in daily repentance, confessing our sins to God and receiving his forgiveness. May God give us the spirit of repentance, the endurance in the fight against our sin, so that we walk by his Spirit, the Spirit of love and forgiveness. Amen.